Welcome to the Laugh Life Podcast, a lifestyle podcast based on living alcohol-free in a booze-soaked world. My name is Kelly Evans, and together with my friends, Tracy Georgievic, Mike Sutton, and Lindsay Herrick, we share uncensored, unscripted, real conversations about what our lives have been like since we ditched alcohol and how we got here. By sharing our individual stories, we'll show you that there isn't just one way to do this. No matter where you are on your journey, from sober curious to years in recovery and everyone in between, you are welcome here. No judgment and a ton of support.
Welcome, everybody, to Season 2, Episode Psycho, and that's 5 for everybody else at home. Tonight, we are going to talk about, as the girls say, it's something I always bring up, mind chatter, self-talk, whatever you want to call it. I call it the voice. But before we dive into self-talk, I think we need to do a little bit of recapping on some previous stories, our lives outside of the guests we meet. I wanted to ask Kelly how she's been doing with her recent break from social media and what kind of things she's experienced. Kelly.
Hey, everybody.
Evening, good night, good morning.
Hey,
wherever you are.
Hello.
Hey, first of all, I thought you said episode psycho. So
that's what I thought. Right. I was like, don't call it psycho.
But it could be psycho because, you know.
I thought you said psycho too.
Sanko. Sanko.
Sanko.
Sanko.
Cuatro. Sanko.
Oh, boy.
Social media. Are you still off it?
No, I'm not. It was a 10-day break. I had deleted Instagram off of my phone and Facebook off of my phone. I still kept Facebook on my laptop. Yes, Lindsay?
Remind our listeners why you deleted it.
Okay, so yes, I took a break from social media off my phone. I was finding myself scrolling too much with all the changes going on in the world, too many rabbit holes, and also just feeling really negative towards other humans and relationships. I re-listened to that episode and I was so ranty and angry. And I know Tracy even had to edit a lot of that out because we did. All of us got a little bit ranty and it was very long. I realized there was another trigger. We were talking about triggers in that episode too, I think, that I had seen post. Happy 2-year anniversary.
Ooh.
I told Lindsay about this after. So yeah, he made a beautiful post. They're in a restaurant, happy 2-year anniversary. And I had been with this person less than 2 years ago.
So that means that person was married.
Not married.
Oh, so in the relationship though.
Yeah. So that felt really crappy. So I don't think I realized how much that affected me. So it was really crappy. So anyway, I took 10 days off. I kept Facebook on my laptop because I use it for work, but I don't tend to scroll on my laptop. And I was happy that I took that break. And now that I've got it back on there, I'm definitely not scrolling as much. There was more of a peaceful feeling. I had mentioned that I wanted to have more time to have some creative time for my new business. And it did allow me to have that. So I've kind of made that into my routine. It's just part of my morning now, instead of sending Lindsay all the memes. Although we find time for that.
We do. And while you were gone, I was struggling. So I'm really happy you're back.
Lindsay was going through her own withdrawal symptoms.
I mean, for real. I feel like I'm traumatized, but I'm just kidding.
We're back. We're back on it and giggling away at the things we need to share to each other. The other thing after I listened to that episode that I can't believe we didn't talk about, but we just didn't have enough time, was the very brief amount of time that I spent on Tinder. Because we were talking about dating apps and stuff.
Yes,
and what a shit show that place is. That's like a freaking circus.
It's a circus.
Have you been on there?
Yep.
No, I never went on there when I was single for good reason.
I loved the picture that you sent me of the guy dressed as Cat in the Hat. Like, that was his profile picture. And the one in just the red boxers with his muffin top hanging over, like a crotch shot. Like, really?
And no that's face.
Your and no, no face. Face. That's your profile picture? Oh my God.
I did not last long in that world. No, no, I did not. And yeah, send Lindsay lots of screenshots. And there was a pirate. There was a pirate too.
There was a pirate. Yeah, yeah, there was.
Was it Halloween already?
No, that's just what happens in Tinder world. But oh, yeah, if any listeners have any positive experiences or crazy experiences, let us know.
Hey, if any listeners want to help out their friend that has a horrible profile picture, let yes. them know. Okay.
Oh, like, guys help everybody need, out. Yeah, guys need girls. Find a friend or a sister or something and get some help with those
pictures. They do. Guys.
New Absolutely. Business idea.
I don't. Yes. Okay, but that isn't our topic tonight. But the other thing was, I wanted to hear about Mike. You were talking about going to that baseball game with your friends that were, I guess, that they were like heavy drinkers. So how did that go?
Did you go, Mike?
I went. I'm depressed of the result, but yes, I went.
What happened?
Talk to us.
The Blue
happened.
They blew a big lead. I think it was the biggest lead in the history of, anyway, it was a big lead. They choked.
We're talking about the Blue Jays here?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And they drank. They drank. And they were funny. I never felt like I wish I had a drink with them. These guys just, they poke fun. It's not like peer pressure fun, but they always throw up. Why don't you have a drink? You know, like,
I hate that.
Yeah. It doesn't bother me because my personality, I just throw something back that
I could see you be witty back.
We are PG / when you're golfing with the boys, it's no holds bar. So, and it's the same wherever I can hold my own. And I get it from many different groups of friends. As I was saying before we got on here, I wanted to go away to Arizona, but work's not going to permit me to go. And that's to play baseball. And that week would have been a really big test. Not that I think that I would have caved, if you will, but it would have been 7 days of, boy, where's old Mike? Blah, 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 blah. You know, like.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, that would have been interesting. But for the Blue Jays game, no, I was, at the end of the day, they lost. I was angry, but I got over it. I caught a ball. And I I met a new friend, Kim, who came over and he was just enamored that I gave him the ball and he was just tickled pink.
You gave him the ball,
Mike.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
My rule is when you go to those games and you catch a foul ball, or something that's not gonna net you $1 million for catching a home run or something like that, give the damn ball to a kid.
I have seen grown ass men
like
pummel kids to the ground to get balls.
There are women too that have seen it.
No, I've seen it. And I'm like, what are you doing? And good for you, Mike. That's the way to be.
Well, the ball costs $10. I mean, 12 bucks. You can buy them. Yeah. Anyway, I think that what I did witness though was, holy shit, there were so many drunk people.
I know.
I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, that's what I was like. I must have been like worse at those games, yelling and my rule,
spilling.
When I used to go to sporting events was I would heckle players and stuff. I'd never swear, no swearing, can't swear, but I'd be loud and obnoxious. And and I just felt when I saw that, I was like, can you just shut up and let me watch the game?
Ooh, yeah. It's like a reminder of who you used to be. Hey,
I think we're supposed to get those.
Yeah.
But that kind of leads into tonight's topic of self-talk and where.
Yeah.
I find, and you guys, I'm sure, will have your own experiences, but I find that it's there almost at every opportunity. It challenging you with how are you going to respond to XYZ, from the guy that cuts you off while you're driving to the guy that posts pictures of red boxers as a Tinder profile, you know, somebody at work who you just want to say, you know, go flip a hat. Yeah. Right? Those at home that can't see, Lindsay gave the old two fist pump together.
Yeah. Was that like the Ross and Rachel, like the fuck off they did?
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah. I know who Ross and Rachel are. I did watch that back then, but that's hilarious.
I have a question for you, Mike.
Yeah, fire.
Okay, so I know before we started recording, we were going to touch on a little bit of like the self-worth topic too, but something came up when you were talking. What if you caved? What if you were with those guys and you were there for how many days and you caved and you had a drink?
You mean like, if I went to Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How would you feel? Would you feel, because when I think about that, I'm like, ooh, would that impact my self-worth caving? And I'd be like, see, I suck at sobriety, or I can't believe I'm that pathetic that I caved and I had a drink. Yeah. Talk to me. I'm interested to hear from you personally. Yeah,
I think you and I have a similar perspective over the course of however many episodes we've had.
Mm-hmm.
I think we both have said, I don't know if it's forever yet. Right. A lot of times when I go and do things and a part of things where alcohol is involved, I think, I think you made a good choice tonight. Not that it was there or there was temptation, but it's just reconfirmation. But how would I feel? I don't know. I think honestly, I'd probably feel some sort of guilt. I don't know what it would be associated with. I think that I've always been really hard on myself mentally and feel like I always need to be better at something. And that's just, that's self-confidence and things that I'm constantly working on. And I think, I think honestly, I have a better handle on now, almost 3 years into this journey, than ever had in my entire life. I'd get over it quick, I think, and know that, I don't know. It's a really good question. I don't know. Maybe one day that'll happen. I don't know. Nothing's really prompted me to say, fuck it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I like that because you've got that self-talk going on. You're like, holy shit, look at these people. I made a good choice tonight not drinking.
Oh, it happens all the time. I mean, come on. There's always a conversation going
on. All the time. Right? All the time. Yeah.
I don't know that we're all anywhere close to quite Zen Buddha state. Maybe Kelly's closer with her new venture in yoga.
Oh, yeah, but not, somebody mentioned driving. If I ever want a reminder of how unenlightened I am.
Oh, my God.
Come drive with me.
Okay.
Kelly, I love you. I do so much. We're like, so.
Have you ever thought about, well, first of all, does any of you have like a dash cam?
No,
but I always imagine it. Usually when I'm singing and like car dancing, I always imagine like it's secretly recording me, but the way I talk to people would not be.
Do you have one, Mike?
I don't, but okay. I bought one about 2 years ago and I started trying to figure out, because here's what I was going to do. I was going to start a YouTube channel and I was going to just record my commentary of, look at this fucking idiot. Do you even know?
I would watch this.
Oh, I know people.
I would.
I've had people go, see, I tried doing a YouTube channel and I did one episode and it was on Kijiji ads and the responses that you get. And I did a 5-minute commentary on the responses to the ad I posted for a free item. And I sent it out to like 30 people. I'm like, here's mine. And I was like, you know, I'm not there yet. So, but recording driving.
Oh man, replay some of it. Okay, so in Winnipeg, we don't have big highways. We just have one little highway that surrounds the city. It's really weird. So people don't know how to merge. We have merge lanes, but they don't know how to merge. Like in Ontario, where I grew up with Tracy and Mike there, you have no choice. Like you got to
drive in that merge lane.
So I know for sure one of the things I say the most in my car is merge, motherfucker.
I love it.
What do you mean? It just doesn't have
they
that
stop.
Length.
It just they don't just, use it.
They stop at the opening and then they wait like it's a fucking yield. It's like there's a whole goddamn lane in front of you. Drive in it, get up to the speed limit, and get over. Yeah, like, what are you doing?
Oh boy,
that's okay. See, I got worked up there.
That's a Scattergories category right there for an episode. We'll get back to that for sure. No, I'm getting angry just thinking about it.
He's triggered.
So yeah,
there's a trigger right there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've gotten much better at driving and not losing my screws, but it's people suck at driving. Anyway,
it's a work in progress, like everything else.
Oh yeah, right, Mike? I don't know that I'll ever get there. I'm getting better, but
yeah. Well, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah,
as long as you're better today than you were yesterday, that's all that matters.
Okay, here's a little bit on the topic of sobriety / in driving. Well, I used to, and I think a couple other guests we've had on the show have talked about driving and being high
or drunk.
never drunk. So what I was saying is I'd smoke a joint and go do what I had to do. But I found I would just go the speed limit. Yeah, but cut me off. I don't give a shit. And like, I would be chill. And then I had this conception in my head with maybe I need to be high when I drive all the time so I won't be angry. And I'm like, no, that's probably not smart. You know, like,
but then you're the slow ass. You that everyone's behind squared.
I would be nor you never would know.
I know. Yeah, but I know.
Yeah. It just, I guess in today's world, it's like it's so fast and we're being conditioned for this instant responses. And even with our self-talk, it's like, do we need to have the instant response or can we just learn to sit with our, yeah, well, consider it what's going on and okay. And then it's going to do what it wants to do and it's going to leave. And I think, mm-hmm. at least for me, when I was drinking, that it created anxiety when mm-hmm. I couldn't like, just leave, just fucking leave. I don't want to think about whatever it is anymore. Mm-hmm. So what about you guys?
I got a good segue into this too.
Sure, fire.
I think I talked about this on that episode as well, the social media episode. And I never did put it in the show notes, so I will this time. And I'll show it to you guys and share it. But I was talking about this little self-care book I got. I think it was my last birthday or something. So I've now read through it because, as I was mentioning in that episode, I've been trying not to be on social media or on my phone as much. So I've been doing more reading, which is awesome because that's something that I've been working on, honestly, for probably 2 years now, definitely since I've been not drinking. And I've picked up so many books and not finished them. I've been reading Untamed for like 5 months trying to get through that book. Now I've kind of converted to audio because I'm a lot better at that. And I've whipped through books on audio. And
okay, can I ask a question amazing. About that? Audiobooks?
Yeah.
What's the difference between listening versus, and I'm a slower reader than I am a listener. Obviously I can comprehend the hearing part, but do you lose anything from it? Like, as opposed
to
seeing it with your eyes and taking it in as opposed to just hearing it with your ears? Because I think you're using two senses.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I think that I take more in because I don't find I get as distracted as maybe sometimes you get when you're reading.
Right.
There is that whole love of just sitting on the couch with a book in your hand that you don't get on audio. I'm doing it mostly when I'm driving somewhere. To me, it's way better taking that information in than say listening to the radio or mindless chitter chatter on the radio. It's kind of like social media on your phone. At least you're taking in something educational and that you're benefiting from mentally and you're stimulating your mind and nourishing your mind, right?
That's good.
It's like podcasts. I listen to a lot of podcasts when I'm driving too. I have a longer commute now because I got a new job. And so I have more time in the car. So to me, that's productive time.
Did you always listen to the radio when you didn't listen to podcasts?
Yeah. I can't stand it. The car's silent.
Oh, man. See,
Mike is the silent driver, right?
Oh, I don't. Yeah. I haven't listened to nothing. My radio, get in the car, it's off.
Wow.
I've driven to Quebec City with absolutely nothing. That's like it's almost an 8-hour drive. And it's just looking at stuff and then letting the self-talk entertain me. It's insane. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, there is something to driving. I mean, yeah. With nothing, like no music on, because you are just, you're not, I guess, as distracted, like.
Well, and if you can be with your own thoughts, then that's mm-hmm. good too. It's just not something I enjoy doing while I'm driving. That's something I'd rather do when I'm at home or when I can focus and I'm not distracted by things on the road too, right? So to me, if I have to drive somewhere, I'd rather be kind of entertained by music or whatnot.
For sure.
Anyways, this book, the self-care book, there's a whole bunch of quotes in it. It's just really cute. But a lot of quick, short, good information. I wanted to read a couple quotes because they could be directly related to some of the stuff we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about self-talk, self-worth, and we talked about even self-forgiveness. This first quote says, "Self-compassion is simply giving the same kindness to ourselves that we would give to others."
Ooh, I love that.
There's another one here that says, "Belonging is not fitting in. Belonging starts with self-acceptance." And then there's one more here that I wanted to read that says, Be nice to yourself. It's hard to be happy when someone is mean to you all the time.
Oh, that one just made me go, whoo.
Whoa. So I thought that last one was pretty ideal for this topic.
I mean, ain't that the truth?
That's very true. The awareness of my self-talk is really what led me to quit drinking. And I do believe I've told this on here before, but I'll just tell it again. My first day of being alcohol-free was February 5th, 2018. So at the beginning of 2018. And for the majority of 2017, so for 10 months, I had a business coach. And one of the activities that he did with me was bring an awareness to my self-talk. And what do you say to yourself the most? And it was, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I just want to say this. I think before I lose it, a lot of people get into recovery because they become a person that they no longer recognize. Mm. Right. So you saying, what the F am I doing or whatever?
It's okay. You said, what the F? I was trying to be funny.
Oh, I didn't even hear what you said. You're like, say the word.
I said, you can say fuck. It's okay.
Yeah. Kelly fuck. Just said it. Yeah. So it's okay.
Yeah. I think that's kind of what starts it for a lot of people.
Well, yeah. Read that last one again, Trace.
Oh, now I lost it. But I'm going to show you guys this. Cute, it was this little book.
Okay? Oh, that's so cute.
Because I can take a clip at this part.
Say it's cute. It's a
book. Why is a book cute? I don't understand. Sorry. It's not like a cat or anything like that. It's a book.
So cute.
I'm going to find it again, Kel. So.
What's so cute?
Well, it's basically. Says,
yeah. Oh, okay.
I got it. Okay. Be nice to yourself. It's hard to be happy when someone is mean to you all the time.
Yeah. Ugh. How mean is that? Can you imagine?
So mean.
Can you imagine if I woke up and my husband at the time said that to me every morning? What the fuck is wrong with you? That's what we do to ourselves.
I know.
We verbally abuse ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's so sad.
Do you think you were saying that, Kel? Because I know that I would say that to myself when I would say, oh, I'm not going to drink today. And then I would drink.
That's what I'm talking about. Because I was usually hungover when I said that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, because we continually violate our own values when we're drinking. We do say things like, oh, fuck. Oh, you wake up and you're like, oh my God, I'm never going to do this again.
The shame.
The shame. You lied. Yeah. Maybe you stole money. Maybe you look and you come in your kitchen and there's like three empty wine bottles and you're like, fuck, I only remember drinking the first bottle. So now what? You're constantly violating your own values.
Well, and you're constantly disappointing yourself.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. I was in the cycle of making all the rules and making all these promises to myself and breaking them every single time.
Got a comment. Don't you guys think that maybe in some ways that all those, can we call them failures or failed moments are leading up to, they're pushing you or guiding you in that direction of when are you going to shit or get off the pot? When are you going to stop?
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. I know that for me and mine was always, when I would go to the same bar that I used to go to all the time and go to the men's room and I'd be standing there by myself and I could be plastered out of my mind. But that same conversation went, when are you going to stop? Is this the last time you're going to come? Is this it? Hey, fuck off. Let me just get through today and I'll deal with you tomorrow. I firmly believe that it got to a point of, okay, I'm tired of this. Really, really tired of this. And we do this with other things in our life, you know, like how we eat or exercise or, you know, gambling or sex, whatever, right?
Look at the way people talk about food. Pay attention to the way people talk about food and they use it as a reward and a punishment.
For sure.
Dopamine hit, right?
Yeah. And it's so sad. Oh, I shouldn't have this because I had this, or I should do this because I ate this. And like, it's sick.
I think food is more specifically sugar and carbs, but sugar is more addicting in some capacities than drugs or alcohol. And because we consume it on a day-to-day basis, and do we really know what's being added to the food these days? It's not whole foods like it was 30, 40 years ago.
Right.
Is that connected to maybe to alcohol in some capacity, right?
Addiction. I definitely think that's addiction. And when I see somebody who's really obese and overweight, I think they're exactly like me, but I used alcohol and they're using food.
Well, I'm not convinced that wine isn't so addictive because it's got sugar in it. People that drink wine, most people don't just drink a glass of wine. There's very few people I know that just have one glass of wine. So, well,
maybe an 85-year-old grandmother who used to have quite a drinking career, you know?
Well, and those people are usually people that drink red. I think that's part of why people get really attached to wine, and maybe even part of why they can't just kind of have one. It's like, try to have one chocolate. When are you ever successful?
I don't know. I feel like you can say the same thing about chips, though, and that's not sugar.
That's,
No, it's salt, right? And that's it. Are you a salt or a sugar person? But it's like, hey, if someone got a box of turtles for Christmas, I'm not having one. I'm having three. That's just who I am, right? It's interesting, though. I think that self-talk we do the things we do to distract us from the self-talk because we don't want to deal with what the self-talk topic potentially is. Boredom. We get bored, and we can relate this back to social media and scrolling, and we just get so bored that we can never sit there and just sit with our thoughts and allow the thoughts to do what they want to do. I'm guilty of it. I'm 100%, right? Go ahead, Kel.
Okay, because we're bored or because we don't want to hear those thoughts?
Well, I think probably both. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for sure both. I know for me that when I catch myself scrolling, I'm bored or I don't want to go back and do work or do you know what I mean? And I catch myself going, oh, dude, you just wasted half an hour when you could have got that task done that would have taken you 25 minutes, like cut the grass. I can't, it's so, I'll do it later. And then I get a little bit down on myself. You just wasted half an hour that you could have went and cut the grass that needs to be cut watching stupid shit.
Well, there comes in your self-talk, right?
But don't you guys think that we put way too much value on productivity?
Yes.
Wow. Like we're rattling off the topics here. We could just have show upon show.
But that's your self-talk. Your self-talk is beating you up because you're not being productive.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Why do we need to be so productive? I struggle with that too. I definitely. And
that contributes to your low self-worth, right? That negative self-talk.
Well, I think it goes back to how we're pushed in society today, that you need to have 50 million things going on.
Yeah.
The world is just going so fast and everybody's trying to keep up with it.
What do you guys think about the work, the career-minded individual and 40 hours a week and 8 hours a day? I mean, shit, I would put in 50, 60 sometimes, but I think that needs to be dialed back and allow people to do the things they got to do with their families or themselves.
Yes.
So they don't take these dark roads. They're taking these dark roads for a number of reasons. And I think one of them is overworked.
Well, we don't have any balance.
No. Right. And I call it hustling for worthiness.
Yeah.
And I was stuck in that for a long time. I put all my self-worth on achievement and hustling. I'm going to work my ass off to do this, this, and this. I don't completely regret it because I've got a pretty nice life. Because of that, but at the same time, that life almost killed me. I was stuck in addiction because of that hustle culture. I didn't know.
Also, if you're go, go, go all the time, when are you taking the time to actually enjoy the fruits of your labor, per se, right? When are you really stopping to enjoy all this hard work that you're putting in?
Well, my motto back then was work hard, play harder. And I lived that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that was ingrained in you in any way along your life, or did like the something happen? No, just part of your makeup.
That's part of our industry.
I think even coming back to our social media episode, I think people are living beyond their means, and they have to hustle hard. They have to fucking work a full-time job and have four side gigs because they're watching social media posts about families going on vacations and buying million-dollar homes. And you're just trying to keep up with everybody else. So once you start getting into a lifestyle like that, you have no choice. You have to work your ass off because you're living beyond your means. Then you're burnt out. Then you're mad at the world. Then you're resentful. And now you're drinking alcohol because you need to numb out. And that's how you're escaping because you can't actually take a fucking vacation because you can't even afford it. But now we're doing things. We're drinking. So
well, yeah. Stop drinking. Put all that money towards your vacation, and you might be able to go.
Oh, look! Ever since I quit drinking, my visa bill doesn't have every bloody establishment in the city on there. Oh, no joke.
So if you ever went missing, just check your visa and be like, "Oh, he went to these five places last night." Oh.
I just, because in my mind, I was like, oh, just pay with Visa because you get those points. You just keep
Points,
right? It's like, that's an addiction in itself. But no, and now that has afforded me the opportunity to put that money in other areas of my life that I really deep down wanted to do. But it's like, I don't have the money. It's like, you have the money, but you just won't sacrifice going out to the bar three, four, six times a week and hanging out with your friends who, you know, are they really your friends? If they just, or are they drinking buddies, right? It's, I think in times like these, and I mean this with regards to when you decide to make the decision to take a break, quit, whatever you want to call it, you find out who your friends are. Really?
Yes, you do.
Because 100%. Yeah, we've talked about this before. Your herd can get thinned out real fast. Oh yeah, she doesn't drink. Fuck, don't bother. Why call her or him? They're not going to be fun.
Well, it's funny because I had a conversation with my partner after our episode. I think it was the episode we've been talking about, the one where it was the four of us. And he had noticed that I think Mike and Kelly specifically had talked about how they've had negative reactions from people because they're not drinking. Kelly, I think you were talking about people had unfollowed you. And I think you were talking about a situation that some girl said something to you at a party or something.
Oh, right.
And blew you off, basically. And I said to him, like, I know it's probably happened to me too. There's certain people that I used to hang out with that I don't really get invited to things that they do anymore. And I was mentioning that to him and he's like, well, I think it's because people probably get the impression you guys don't really like being around drunk people because you guys talk about that. And I was like, well, two things. I'm like, one, what people don't get is that our experience or any individual's experience or journey has nothing to do with them.
Right.
He's like, they probably think that you're going to judge them. He said, you've talked about, for instance, how you stopped drinking because you were concerned about what kind of role model you were being as a mother. He goes, maybe you're making people feel bad about their own ability to motherhood or whatever. And I was like, well, they have to take responsibility for that. Mm-hmm. Like, people need to understand that this is about me. It's not about them. And if they're not going to be my friend for that reason or be in my life, then I'm okay with that. I was okay with that coming into this journey, or else I never would have ventured into it. Those aren't my people anymore. Right. You know,
You're speaking your truth. So when you speak your truth, you're going to piss some people off. But on the other side of that, the better side of that is that you're going to inspire people to live their truth.
Absolutely. For sure.
I love that. Yeah.
I think it's okay to outgrow people too. I think people are with you in certain seasons of your life, and then you decide to level up or do something different, and those friends aren't going to come with you, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And I think you attract better when you're doing better. Not that those people aren't good, but it's like you just change. We're supposed to change. We're not supposed to be the same person we were when we were 20 at 40 years old, right? So I think
in relationships too. Like my marriage ended when I changed. So
yeah,
that's, you know.
Well, I think it opens up the opportunity for you to bring people into your life that you're more aligned with as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you have to get there, right? You have to ride the high road and low roads take the stone chips in the windshield.
And I think it's about how you vibrate too, because like your energy, like if we're bringing it back to self-worth, right? If you're low vibration and you have a really crappy self-worth, think about who you're attracting into your life. You're attracting other people who have low self-esteem, low self-confidence, low self-worth.
And
right.
Have you in the past attracted those people when you were
drinking?
Yeah, drunk.
Yeah. Right? When I was dating, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
The girls you meet in the bathroom when you're drunk.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Best friend.
I've never had that happen. God.
Well, no, now you may.
You're not meeting any girls in the bathroom when you're drunk.
Oh, I mean, with bathrooms today, I don't know.
Yeah, true. True. No,
I don't know. I think,
it's
yeah,
so
like
true, Linz. Yeah.
When you're recovering, it's like the beginning of this. It's an ongoing journey to reclaim your self-worth. So if once your self-worth, once you start healing that and it's like, wow, you're growing and you become more confident and you're realizing things about yourself, you're getting around people who are doing the same thing. You should be outgrowing
you're
people.
You're a magnet for those.
Exactly.
What did right? you say?
I totally agree.
You're a magnet for magnet. Those.
Yeah.
If you are looking around the people in your life and you're thinking like, oh my God, why even in business, why do I have all these people on my team? Well, think about who you are because you're going to attract who you are. Or your friends and sitting around smoking weed and you're like, what the hell is going on here? I don't do this. Well, maybe at a certain time in your life, you know, those were your people, but they're not your people anymore or something like that.
Well, there's something to be said about the fact that you are who you surround yourself with, right?
You are. You're the average of the five people you speak to or hang out with the most. Mm-hmm. I've heard that too. So yeah. And I think if you want to go higher and you want to do better and better yourself, like if you want to be fit, don't hang out at McDonald's. You know what I mean? You want to get with people who are mindful. No, you want to be with people who are mindful of what they're putting in their bodies. Sign up at a gym. If you feel like you don't belong there, but you want to be that person, you're in the right spot.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Good point.
So, amen.
Very good. Yes.
In saying that, I was thinking, I feel like, and I'm sure you guys will agree, my self-talk was so much worse and so negative when I was drinking.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something though that you kind of really have to pull yourself out of even mm-hmm. when you stop drinking. Mm-hmm. It's like a bad habit, and that habit carries on. Just because the alcohol went away doesn't mean that the bad self-talk goes away. You have to start chipping away at it and working at it.
Yeah.
Well, think about how many years you've put into the consumption side of the equation.
Ooh.
It ain't going to just happen overnight. And I think that people who get into that habit of sober October and they're going to do 30 days and it's like, that's great. Don't get me wrong, but it's like, mm-hmm. are you doing that because you want to prove something to yourself that you can do it, which is good and positive? Or mm-hmm. are you doing it because it's part of guilt? It's that social media trendy thing to do. If you're doing it because you think you want to explore the possibilities of doing it full time or for a long time, there's that self-talk shit's, I mean, it's going to happen. It's just you're going to have to understand that what the self-talk conversation is today isn't necessarily going to be the same tomorrow or a week from now. It's like the news, the headline news changes every damn day. We get into our head and think, oh my God, this is going to be crippling forever. I did it on multiple occasions for different moments of my life where I felt like this is the way my life's going to be. I'm going to feel like this forever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, what do I do now? You know what I mean? I'm going to go get drunk because I don't want to feel the pain of what it is I'm going through. And, you know, you have to go through it. You know, there's going to be some shit days. There really is.
I keep thinking about Jamie, what he said. I wasn't addicted to the alcohol. I was addicted to not being me. I was just like, oh my God.
Good line.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Tell me about a time recently where your self-talk maybe had you consider taking a drink. Lindsay, or not taking a drink, but like,
yeah,
I'm posing the kind of the similar question that you asked me earlier.
Yeah. Oh, let me think.
What's the question?
So she like, said, do you think if you went away for a week with the guys
and caved,
would you have caved? How would you feel? And I'm kind of posing the question of, do you have anything moments in the last, whatever period of time where you felt that, well, if I have that drink, feel good about myself the next day. How would you respond, I guess, is the question.
I would be full of shame, 100%. It actually, to think about taking a drink or having a glass of wine or something like that scares the shit out of me. Not because I'm afraid, oh, I'm going to be addicted. I'm like, oh God, like, I just don't want to put that in my body.
Right.
But it's funny because we just, over this past weekend, we did a lot of preparation and made a baby shower for my sister. And it was a lot of work. I was exhausted. I had so much going on. And I was up till like 3 a.m. the night before at my other sister's place, and we're blowing up balloons. And it was crazy. So the next day, when I got to the shower, my brother-in-law looks at me. He's like, whoa, you know, and I'm like, yeah, like I literally almost burst into tears. I was just so done. And I think I said something like, thank God I don't drink anymore. And he just started laughing and right away was like, did you want one? I'm like, no, but it's like when I get stressed, or when I'm at my weakest, when I'm mentally exhausted, that's when I'm like, nope, don't do it. It really scares me. And I think if I did, I would just be completely shame-filled. I would feel like I'm starting from scratch day one. I feel like all my previous 3 years of sobriety would be erased. And I don't think that that's even true, because I think I've done a lot of work. It's taken a lot of work on myself, changing my habits, courage, replacing habits, you know, and that's there, you know, having a drink doesn't erase all of that. I've still done all of that, but I wouldn't be light on myself about it. I would feel like
it would ride really, out. It'd ride its course out. It wouldn't.
I would feel so terrible. And yeah, I don't think if I had a drink, my attitude would be like, ah, fuck it. Let's just have the bottle, because that's always been my attitude. I wouldn't just have one drink and be like, oh, well, oops. Okay. Let's not. I would probably be like, I'm already a glass and here we go. So I'm like, no, it scares the crap out of me. I don't even want to think about it. And honestly, it's not something when I used to get really stressed out, that's the first thing I would think. Now I'm like, I need to get on my spin bike. I can't wait to get home from the shower so I could ride my spin bike. And I'm like, okay, well, that's a better habit.
Well, I think it's a dopamine hit, right?
And that's exactly what it is. Yeah,
that's your dope. Where are you getting your dopamine?
And you change that and, you know.
Yeah, it's funny. It's not a default for me either.
It's not something
that I really think about a lot, to be honest with you.
I don't either. Yeah.
I think if anybody quits and would have second thoughts about it, one thing I would encourage, because I think it's made a big difference for me, is educate yourself on what alcohol does to your body.
That's a great point.
Enough encouragement for me not to want to put it in my body.
Mm-hmm. Once you know that stuff, you can't unknow it.
Exactly.
So good, Kelly.
Exactly. True, Kel. Yeah. So true.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't find use like Lynn's. I'm the same as you. I would feel so terrible if I ever did. And I don't really even know why, because, you know, I was of the same mindset as you and Mike when I began this journey, that maybe one day again. But it does scare me too. It does scare me. How would it make me feel? And I don't think it would make me feel in a good way, which is a huge deterrent too. So I'm happy that I think of it that way.
Yeah.
But I just really don't have the desire. And the same thing happened to me when I quit smoking, thankfully. I quit smoking twice. The first time I wasn't very successful and I had a really hard time with it. The second time, it's kind of like what Jamie said, actually, I could really relate when he said he was just done, when he said he woke up that morning and that day and he was just done and never felt like a drink again. That's what I was like with smoking when I quit for good. I was just done. And it was like, I was never even a smoker because I never even craved it, wanted it, nothing again after that.
Yeah.
Smoking was the shit. Sorry, I'm just going to say it. Smoking, I miss it.
Oh, man.
That's how I felt the first time I quit, Kel. That's what why I went say, back Mike? To it.
I smell a t-shirt coming. T-shirt. Was with an underline, the shit.
You're like, smoking is crossed out was.
Yeah.
Was
it? With a poo emoji. Oh, yeah.
I'm jealous of the people that smoke. I don't mind a little whiff of secondhand smoke sometimes.
My God, really?
Holy smokes.
I don't want to smell like it. I don't want my hair to smell like it. But like, if the car beside me is smoking, I'm like, oh, yeah. Roll down that window. Blow some in here.
Wow. Smoking is shit.
That's so
good. I haven't had a cigarette in eight years.
When I was in grade 12, I remember it like it was yesterday. The classroom, we had like health class or something. there was a poster in, I can see it right now, in the room. And there was a picture of a woman smoking a cigarette. And it said, "You're dragon lady." I don't know why, but.
I want that.
Yeah, yeah. She was wearing like leather boots. She looked kind of like a hooker, but.
Wow.
That
was the anti-smoking poster in the health class.
But you like say it.
That's a pretty good anti-smoking poster, like though.
Because... No, I just thought it was funny. I didn't like anything about it.
Oh,
okay. No, Kelly, I didn't go home and have dreams about the anti-smoking poster. Christ.
Oh, wow.
That's funny because I look at women now smoking and think it's really, I don't know, women more so than men. That's very, very unfeminine.
See ya.
But I used to be a smoker. Oh, that used to be me.
Deal breaker for me.
Deal breaker. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to kiss a dirty ashtray. Fuck that, man.
It is a very dirty habit.
It is pretty. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh.
My partner smokes, but
I can't
he doesn't a lot around me. But mm-hmm. when he does smell like it, it's like, no, go away. You're not getting it anywhere close to you.
You're going to need to brush your teeth, take a shower, yeah, put on some cologne, and then we can talk.
We'll reconvene.
Yeah.
The same with alcohol. When a drunk person, I remember if I was sober and there was a drunk woman, and I'd be like, oh, fuck, get away from me.
Dude. Yes.
I swear.
Yeah.
But if I was drunk, like, yeah, let's whatever. Yeah. It's insane what we do when we drink.
Well, it's funny because I was trying to use the smoking example to my partner when he was talking about the not drinking, right? The not drinking. He said, maybe it's because you guys used to drink and now you don't. And I said, well, it's like smokers too. If you were a smoker and then you're an ex-smoker, you just realize things about it that you didn't know or think about when you were doing it. Mm-hmm. I said, and then you realize it's a dirty habit. It's all these things. And yeah, you're not so keen on it. It's no different than drinking. Well, right?
Same with weed.
I
remember I could go out and smoke a joint and then think, oh yeah, no one's going to know because I'm not going to be noticeable.
But oh my God.
Dude. You
there was like a stink, dude. Yeah,
well, I wouldn't, especially when it was cold, you come in, the whole room would be looking over at you like, how do you eat the cake? What are you talking about? And it's like, well, I get it. Sometimes I miss weed, but
that's okay to miss it.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, I think it's okay smoking. To miss smoking. I think it's okay that's to even fair. Miss alcohol, honestly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you can miss something that isn't good for you. That doesn't mean, I don't know. That doesn't mean you should go and pick it up again, right?
So,
yeah.
Anyway, that's a whole other topic.
Soul.
I have it.
By Michael Singer. It's Michael A. Singer, but The Untethered Soul is such a beautiful book. And we aren't our thoughts. It's all this stuff that's been piled on. We were born free. We were born, our natural state is peace. And then we go through life and all these crazy system programming and all kinds of shit gets layered on top of layers on top of layers. And that's where all this comes from. And I love that book.
I think maybe even an addiction, that's what we're trying to seek. We're trying to return to our natural state of peace. Yes. And we think that these things are helping us do that, but it's doing the opposite.
Yeah.
What about you, Mike? What do you think? Because you've talked.
I need to know, and I will get to what you're going to ask, Trey. Sorry. Is that book cute, Kelly, too? Is that a book?
I'll show you a picture of it. It's so
cute. No, I don't need to see a picture of it.
It's got a little horse on it.
Okay, that's my next book, Kel.
It's so good. Finish Untamed.
Oh, Mike.
Yes, I know.
You little bugger.
That's what I'm here for.
It's a sweet little book that you just leave on your coffee table and you just
it's super
it
cute.
Yeah, it's super cute.
There's not many books on my coffee table.
And so I'm a big book person. So I love Tolle and all those books. And I have a few little piles in my living room. And sometimes I'll just, whatever I'm called to, I'll grab, open, and
like a library or anything like that.
It's my little library open. And it just, it's always exactly what I need to hear. Always. Mm-hmm. And the reading and all that stuff, the journaling, the reading, my coffee time, going back to our two episodes ago, there's no phone powered on until all of that stuff, until I'm finished my liter and a bit of coffee.
Oh, I love that.
That's a great practice, Kel. That's really good.
It is.
I need to get better at that.
If that's you're committed a work to in it, progress. I consider that like exercise. So like bravo. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is exercise it for is. Your mind and your soul.
100%. Good for you.
That's good really for good. You.
What's her name? Ariana Huffington. Is that her name? Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy. Okay. Okay. Yeah. The Huffington Post.
Oh,
the co-founder of Huffington Post.
Oh, okay. I know Huffington Post. Okay. Yeah.
So she's a great one to follow. And okay. I think she had a breakdown or a heart attack or something because she was living so like hustle, hustle, hustle.
Oh my God.
But she quoted on her Instagram the other day, something along the lines of what's the dumbest thing that smart people do? And it's they sleep with their phones on.
Love that. Mm-hmm. Do you know this? I don't know if you know this, Mike, but ever since season one, where you were like, get all the electronics out yes. of your bedroom, because I used to have my iPad, my laptop, and my cell phone all on my bench in my bedroom, charging while I slept.
Powered on?
Yes. All of them.
You want to take it a step further?
Oh God. Are you going to tell me to get my Alexa out of there?
That thing's listening to you, Lindsay.
I know.
Oh my God. Because if the Alexa could tell the stories, I would say the next thing is
our next podcast guest, my Alexa.
I have not done it, but I've been seeing it lately is turn off your Wi-Fi. Just go down and power off your Wi-Fi while you sleep. And they oh my talk God, about
that's brilliant.
I mean, talk about lazy. I just got to walk down 6 steps to go and turn it off, but I don't. I should. And I think that'll be something I get towards. And
oh my God, I've never even good. Thought to do that.
Quality of sleep.
I haven't had my electronics in my bedroom for a year now because of that
that's episode awesome,
that we did. And I'm like, yeah.
I'm working towards that because right now, actually, I'm reading the 5 second rule. Has anybody read that?
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. I know we've talked about Mel Robbins before and I really like her, but yeah, on audio, I'm listening to the 5 second rule.
Oh, and she talks she's about got a good that, voice. That,
no, yes, she's amazing. She's amazing. Like talking like she's just public speaking. It's not mm-hmm. even like she's reading the book when you listen to the other types of audiobooks, but mm-hmm. yeah, she has a whole morning routine and that's part of it. She doesn't have her phone in her room either. So mm-hmm. I actually just bought an alarm clock that goes off like the sun coming up in the morning.
Oh.
And then it has nature sounds to wake you. So my goal is to not have my phone in my room when I go to bed, have it mm-hmm. downstairs or whatever charging and use that to wake up. So Mike, I was going to ask you there, sorry, what you feel like you've done to improve your self-talk. Because I know you've talked about this a lot in the past episodes, how that's a challenge for you. But I'm assuming that you've been working on it and it's gotten better.
I think I work on it every day. I try to, and I meditate. I want to say like 90% of the week, I go in streaks of weeks every day. And then I'll have a few days off and I notice mm-hmm. right away, like, oh, you're feeling like shit. Well, let's take a look at what you're not doing that you usually do. And walking for sure. I know I can tell when I haven't been walking. I honestly, God, I mean, I don't have cable. I watch YouTube. A lot of the things I've figured out for work in my career's completely changed over the last 3 years is because of YouTube and or TikTok. Mm-hmm. I don't love TikTok like some people, but I look at it more for informative. I've learned a lot of shit from TikTok, that's for sure. I don't encourage excessive amounts of TikTok use. I have somebody that I talk to on a fairly consistent basis about where my life's going and the things I want to attain and get towards and work towards. I guess like a mentor in a sense.
That's good. That's really good.
I'm always been the one to explore and try things. Sometimes, yeah, I'm set in my ways, but I definitely will say that I've explored and tried things because I know where my life was before wasn't where I ideally want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Or else I'd still be where I was and sitting there wallowing in misery, holding it inside. And it's literally fucking killing you. It was killing me.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated it. I hated it, absolutely hated it. And I just knew that I wanted to be fixed quick, real quick. And I got news for you. I've been through a lot of different, what I perceived to be quick fixes that didn't work. And man, I want my money back. But no,
that's a good one.
Hey, I wouldn't be where I'm at without trying them. And at least I have the experience to say, didn't work for me, but you know what? You got to try it. The person I speak to always encourages me to write shit down. And I struggle with it greatly.
Yeah, I do too.
I've done things where I've written out a letter or whatever you want to call it to myself about things I'm trying to rid myself of, and I burn it and I go outside, I burn it in my driveway and my neighbor must think, holy shit.
Holy shit.
Person coming, the fuck's he doing? But no, I mean, I've tried, like I said, I've tried different things. And a lot of my buddies would say, you are insane, but I really don't care. I think they realize that I don't care what they think. You guys have tapped into is this is about me and my journey per se. And mm-hmm. I think I've learned about who wants to be around me right now. And like you said, Lindsay, sometimes friends are like seasons mm-hmm. change, and
they do.
You don't have to be connected to that person that you thought would right. be there forever.
Yeah.
Because nothing really is forever, right? We eventually will die. Mm-hmm. Not to be morbid, but live your best, right?
It's true. Mm-hmm. It's the only truth. We're all going to die.
Right. We're all going to die. Yeah.
So I wrote an I am list. I'd say the one thing that I am splentacular.
I love it.
Maybe you need an I am list. Maybe you need to take a page out of Kelly and Lindsay's book now, Mike. Lindsay took a page out of your book about the phone and electronics.
Honestly, I sleep better. It fascinated me. I was like, what the hell? Oh my God. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have a private recording and we'll just talk about the things that I need to do that Kelly and Lindsay.
Why you gotta be such a smart ass, Mike?
That's who I am. Splentacular.
I think your I am should be I am a smart ass.
In the best way.
I think if I kept, or my mom kept, the report cards from that, would be top of the list. Class clown, smart ass, needs to learn how to shut up. And I wonder what happened to those report cards.
Wow.
So on that note, does anybody else want to add anything before we wrap her up?
I feel like I missed a couple rounds of something that I was supposed to say, but I don't know.
What's your I am? If you feel comfortable sharing a couple.
Yeah.
Yes. And it should change. I am free. I love it.
I am worthy of massive love and abundance.
Yes.
I am strong. I am healthy.
I am a badass.
I'm a badass. I am me.
Yeah.
Wild and free.
So good.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Self-talk. I still catch myself doing it. It's not as mean as it was. I think
as frequent too.
Not as frequent, knowing that I try and be an observer. That's what you learn from this little book, is becoming an observer of your thoughts, because you are not the thoughts. But the thing I say to myself is focus. I tend to be pretty hard on myself. I recognize that. So one of the things that I do a lot of is multitask, which it's not great. We're not designed to multitask. So I catch myself a lot doing that, and walking around brushing my teeth and emailing people. And it's pretty chaotic. So focus on one thing at a time. But focus is the thing I say to myself the most in a negative way. I try and look at myself in the mirror every day, look myself in the eyes and think good things. And
that's awesome. Very important.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mike.
We're going to wrap up season 2, episode 5. Mm-hmm. And thank everybody for listening and continue to listen. You can find us on our various socials, and you can reach out to everybody individually via social. For myself, contact the show and they'll get a hold of me and I'll get a hold of you if you're looking for me. I want to thank you ladies for once again making my evening a joyous occasion and always learning more, because hell, I learned some stuff about books can be cute. And I got to consider, in all seriousness, I got to consider maybe the I am task. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
The I am statements.
Yeah, it may surprise you. But I am splentacular. That's what I know.
That is. Listen. That's a fact.
Thanks a lot, everybody. Signing off. Take care. And we will see you next week on the flip side.
Yeah. Good night.
Night. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening. Please give us a 5-star rating, like and subscribe, share on social media, and tell your friends. We love getting your feedback and ideas of what you'd like to hear on upcoming episodes of the Laugh Life podcast. If you yourself are living alcohol-free and want to share your story here, please reach out.